Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Janadalada Girivaradhari Janadalada Girivaradhari Ashoda Nandana Gajana Rangana Ashoda Nandana Janana Kira Rana Chari Narada Narada Kira Bihari Nishnipad Paramahamsa Paribhajipacharya Sikritya Sarishi Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Nishnipad Paramahamsa Paribhajipacharya Sikritya Sarishi Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Namacharya Sadahaidas Thakur Ki Jai Vamsikahan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasri Gaud Bhaktivindu, Ki Jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gogopina, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaud Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Shri Prabhupada. I'm going to read from this one, okay? I'm going to read from this one. Yeah, but I want to read from this one. Thanks. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jano Vidayat. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2. Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations. Text 33. Kridangani Nishini Sakara Rasmi Golyam. Rasam Mukakara Padaya Tamo Chitena. O Deepita Smarangu Jangaja Brid Padunam. Atho harasyati siro dhananagugasya
Atho
harasyati siro dhananagugasya Kridam
vane
shimsakara vasmila uyama O Deepi Krishna-rajam-vajabhrivadunam
Akyo-harishyati-siro-dhanam-vasya
Vedam-vane-nishin-sakara-rasmi-gauryam Prasannukha-kala-padaya-ca-murchitena Udipita-smara-rujanga-ca-vridvadunam Artur-harishya-tishiro-dharanam-vasya Kridam-vane-nishin-sakara-rasmi-gauryam Vasam-mukha-kala-padaya-ca-murchitena Udipita-smara-rujam-vajra-vridvadunam Artur-harishyati-siro-dhananam-vasya
Ladies?
Kridam-vane-nishin-sakara-rasmi-gauryam
Rasam-mukha-kala-padaya-ca-murchitena
Udipita-smara-rujam-vajra-vridvadunam
Artur-harishyati-siro-dhananam-gasya
Kridam, while engaged in his pastimes, Vani, in the forest of Vrindavan, Nishi, Nocturnal, Nishakara, the moon, Rashmi Gauryam,
white moonshine,
Rasa Unmukha,
desiring to dance with,
Kalaparayata,
accompanied by sweet songs,
Murchitena,
and melodious music.
Udipita,
awakens.
Smararujam,
sexual desires.
Vajabrit,
the inhabitants of Vajabhumi.
Varunam,
of the wives.
Atuhu,
of the kidnappers.
Arisati,
will vanquish.
Siraha,
the head.
Dhanada
Anugasya,
of the follower of the rich
Kuvara.
Translation.
When the Lord was engaged in his pastimes of the Rasa dance in the forest of Vrindavan,
enlivening
the sexual desires of the wives of the inhabitants of Vrindavan by sweet melodious songs,
a demon of the name Sankaputa,
a rich follower of the treasurer of heaven,
Kubera,
kidnapped the
damsels,
and the Lord
severed
his head from
his trunk.
Please repeat.
When the Lord was engaged in his
pastimes
of the
Rasa dance in the
forest of Vrindavan,
enlivening
the sexual desires
of the wives of the
inhabitants of Vrindavan,
by
sweet and melodious
songs,
a demon of the name
Sankachuda,
a rich follower
of the treasure of heaven
Kuvera,
kidnapped
the damsels,
and the Lord
severed his head
from his trunk.
Purport
by Srila Prabhupada. We should carefully note that the statements described herein are the statements of Brahmaji to Narada, and he was speaking to Narada of events that would happen in the future during the advent of Lord Krishna. The pastimes of the Lord are known to the experts who are able to see past, present, and future. And Brahmaji, being one of them, foretold what would happen in the future. The killing of Sankachuta by the Lord is a more recent incident after the Vasalila, not exactly a simultaneous affair. In the previous verses, we have seen also that the Lord's engagement in the affairs of the forest fire was described, along with his pastimes of punishing the Kaliya snake, and similarly, the pastimes of the Rasa dance and the killing of Sankachuta are also described herein. The adjustment is that all these incidents would take place in the future, after the time when it was being foretold by Brahmaji to Narada. The demon Sankachuta was killed by the Lord during his pastimes at Horika in the month of Phalgun, and the same ceremony is still observed in India by burning the effigy of Sankachuta one day prior to the Lord's pastimes at Horika, generally known as Holi. Generally, the future appearance and activities of the Lord or his incarnations are foretold in the scriptures, and thus the pseudo-incarnations are unable to cheat persons who are in knowledge of the events as they are described in the authoritative scriptures. So when I began studying for this verse, I found quite a trail, and it gets a little complex, or there's a lot to it. So what I want to do is create kind of an image that will help organize the categories of the topic. So what I'm going to do is create like an image of a painting. The painting is the killing of Sankachuta. But we're going to build a frame. And by building the frame, then we can understand how we've come to hear this particular pastime. Srila Prabhupada's purport, as we just read, dealt a lot with the time frame. And then there was just a little bit about Sankachuta at the end. So following that train of thought that Srila Prabhupada presented in the purport, let's create the frame of the pastime painting. So on the bottom, which is the foundation, we have the discussion. First of all, there's Maharaj Prakrit hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. If you go all the way back, you hear Sutta Goswami speaking to the sages of Nanasharanya. It's a timeline, building that timeline. Sutta Goswami was present when Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Prakrit, so he's speaking there. Second canto begins with Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Prakrit, who was cursed to die in 7 days. After explaining to King Prakrit that you should not be fearful at the time of your death, but you should spend your energy, your conscious awareness on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he explained the first step in God realization, seeing the Lord everywhere, and meditating on the Lord in the heart, the second chapter. After hearing that from Sukadev, Maharaj Prakrit asks, in the process of creation chapter, I beg to know from you how the Personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable, even to the great demigods. Kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining and again winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting of a player. So Sukadev, in order to answer the question, first of all, offers many prayers, asking for the Lord's blessings, that he be pleased with his speech. And then, rather than answering directly, Sukadev Goswami defers the conversation to Lord Brahma and his son Narada. So Narada, speaking with Brahma, asks, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it being conserved? And under whose energy is all this being done? It's the same question. How is this creation, maintenance, and annihilation going on? My dear father, all this is known to you scientifically, because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, and whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip, just like a walnut. Again, we're creating the foundation of this pastime. Brahma's explaining it to Narada. This reveals that Brahmaji knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything going on in this universe, yet he's a jiva. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing, and under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all these entities with material elements by your personal energy? Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any other source than your lordship. Thou art so great. Yet we're moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities in perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. To my dear father, you know everything, and you are the controller of all. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me, so that I may be able to understand it as your student. This is where we are now. We're in the conversation between Brahma and Narada, and Brahma is explaining the different scheduled incarnations, explaining how the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe takes place. Bottom part of the frame, the foundation, we're in this conversation. Now let's go to the top part of the frame, Brahma's position, and how Brahma knows how to answer this question. Brahma has been ordered, instructed, from the he's the first created being. He's directly born from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And he appears on a lotus flower, and the entire lotus stem comprises the 14 planetary systems. And he's at the top as the main engineer of the entire place. And he creates, or he uses the ingredients that have been provided for him and creates all the different planets and living bodies that people live in. While he was performing this activity, trying to populate the universe, what happens is that from the previous palaya, the previous devastation, all the living entities at the time of that devastation enter into the body of Mahavishnu. The whole thing, the whole entire cosmic creation goes from Mahatattva to Pradhan, to an unmanifest state. Mahavishnu glances over it, again activates it, and when he does that, his glance carries all those living entities that were in his body and injects them into the Pradhan, which enlivens material energy. Then the universes, each individual universe is created. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands and enters into each universe, and Brahma is born. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has within his abdomen all those living entities with all their desires from their previous lives. Then they come out, manifest into bodies, and continue fulfilling their desires. So Brahma is in charge of this entire thing. And while he was doing this, it was taking some time. He had created some mental sons. He's created the four Kumaras and then 10 mental sons as Prajapatis. But it wasn't developing to his satisfaction. While he was contemplating what to do, two entities emanated from him. They're called the Kayam, from the body of Lord Brahma. They're not really considered his son and daughter, but one had breasts and the other was a male. This was Swayambhuva Manu and his wife Sadarupa. And then he instructed them to populate the universe. And this was his direct, this is the position of Manus. Again, we're at the top on our frame explaining how Brahma maintains and engineers everything. This is Brahma to Manu at his time of appearance. O king, he was the first king, Swayambhuva Manu. If you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Purport. The whole administrative system is arranged for the purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Brahma is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Manu is the representative of Brahma. Similarly, all other kings on different planets of the universe are representatives of Manu. The law book for the entire human society is the Manu Samhita, which directs all activities toward the transcendental service of the Lord. Every king, therefore, must know that his responsibility in administration is not merely to exact taxes from the citizens, but to see personally that the citizens under him are being trained in Vishnu worship. Everyone must be educated in Vishnu worship and engaged in devotional service to Hrishikesh, the owner of the senses. So let's go into a little more detail of how these Manus engage in that activity. We know that there are 14 Manus in each day of Brahma. The life of one Manu, let's go down even further. The different yugas are generally not as we know them. They're not Satyatreta, Dwapara, and Kali. Dwa means two, Dui, Dwa, and Tri, Treta means three. So generally, the yugas progress Satya, Dwapara, Treta, and Kali. All those together equal 4,320,000 years. It's called the Divya Yuga. The cycle, one cycle of the four yugas, times 72 is the reign of one Manu. 71. 71 Divya Yugas. So, there are 14 of those Manus, each one living through all those cycles of days, and during all of them, what is the main focus from the Vedas? When Brahma was born, when Brahma was manifested, things started coming out of his bodies, and the eternal knowledge of the Vedas also emanated from him. And some of those are the four basic Vedas, 18 Puranas. Purana means old or history. Each Purana of the 18 Puranas describes the history of the universe and what happens in it. That's like the storyline. Now, 17 of those 18 Puranas are prominent, one of them or two of them or several of them, during all those Manus except one. All those Manus in this universe, from the time of Brahma, all the way through Swayambhuva, Svarojisa, Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata, Chakshusha, up to Vaivasvata Manu, all those Satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali, 4,320,000 years times 71, all that time, people aren't hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead who plays a flute and is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. All that time. So how I was reading this, I was realizing, whoa, am I an unfortunate soul or what? We are so fortunate to be able to come in contact with this wisdom. Because on the 28th cycle of those 72 rotations, there was an anomaly in the astronomy of the universe, and Treta Yuga came before Dwapara Yuga. So there was Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and then Kali. And at the end of that Dwapara Yuga was when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Swayam Bhagavan, the controller of even all the Vishnus and Purusha avatars and Manvantara avatars, personally advented on this planet in Gokul and in Mathura. I think we're at the end of the bottom frame. Okay. So, we got the bottom frame, which was the conversation between Brahma and Narada. The top frame about Brahma's perception. Another thing that I found interesting was the relativity of time. Consider, I'm 70 years old. When I was 10 years old, 5 years was half my life. So 5 years was a long time. Now I'm 70, and it's 3.5% of my life compared to 50. It's the same amount of time, it's 5 years. But my perception of that time is very different than it used to be. Multiply that principle, that mathematical kind of concept, by millions, and you can see where Brahma's coming from. That his whole life is his 100 years. His one day is 14 of these manus. There are 14 manus. If it was 2 hours per manu of his time, it would be 28 hours, so we can understand it's a little less than 2 hours is the span of one manu's life. So for him to explain to Narada what's going to happen and what's happening is not very difficult because he's seeing it very different than we see it. Now, during that, just after that Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th cycle in Vaivasvata Manu's life, which is a little more than half of Brahma's life. He's like 51 now, or almost 51, 52. He's a little more than half his life. Then the Lord advented as Sri Vyasadeva, as a literary incarnation of the Lord, and makes manifest just after Krishna's disappearance from the world, after the Lord comes, performs all his pastimes, and shows the most intimate part of himself and then disappears. Krishna dama swamo pagate dharma gyani dibihi saha kalo nasta drishamesha puranarko dunoditaha. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So this Bhagavat Purana manifests during that time so that these people at this particular time in that big stance of the universe's day, he appears once in a day of Brahma. In a day of Brahma. That means all those manas, 14 manas with all those satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali, 4,320,000 times 71 times 14 once he appears. After he appears, performs his pastimes, Bhagavad Purana comes out, 4,500 years later, Krishna thinks. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Braj, specifically the cowherd boy, Sanandanandana, the Supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys his pastimes in the eternal boat of Goloka, which is Brajadhana. Once in a day of Brahma, he descends to this world, manifests his transcendental pastimes. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appeared on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Brajadham. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Shringara, Madhurya Rasa, are the four transcendental mellows. By the devotees who cherish these four mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. This is a very unique feature of that personality who lives in Goloka Vrindavan and plays as a cowherd boy and plays a flute. He can be subdued by love during the Damodar Astakam. Who can share the verse that explains that I am subdued by love? Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood. Drown the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To those devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayana and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. He is the only one. All the Vishnus, during that whole other time, they accept worship, awe and reverence. So it's like mind-blowing how unique he will be given this opportunity. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in Braj with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks, everywhere in the world these people worship me according to scriptural injunctions, but simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees of Brajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion, made feeble by such reverence, does not attract me. By performing such regulative devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Braj. There may be many auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who, other than Lord Sri Krishna, can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform the various colorful pastimes. Thus thinking, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia, early in the age of Kali. That's the right side frame. Now we'll use the left side frame, just to keep it in context. So, after Lord Chaitanya's advent and his taking sannyas, he wanted to travel to Vrindavan to again blossom and bring that love of Braj Bhakti back. Since the time of Krishna, 5,000 years before that, it had been lost, it degraded, yoga nashta parantapa. So, in that, to display that pastime, he came with his associates, Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishna, Sango Pangasta Parshadam, Sango Pastra, he came with his associates, his weapons. Two of those generals were Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And they wrote books, empowered by Lord Chaitanya, to nourish this Braj Bhakti in those who were fortunate enough to come in contact with it. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Brahma with details of the creation and manifested Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So, we know that Lord Chaitanya met Rupa and Sanatana when they were government ministers. They gave up their posts, they left, they went to Vrindavan. But then the Lord again met with Rupa Goswami in Prayag. After Rupa had already gone to Vrindavan, then he was coming back to Bengal with his brother in Rupama. And the Lord instructed him for 10 days at Allahabad, at Dasamedha Ghat. This inspired Rupa Goswami to begin writing, because the Lord told him, establish the holy places in Vrindavan, establish deity worship, and write books. So he started writing a book. And then he went to Bengal, his brother died, he took care of some more business, and then he went to Puri to visit the Lord, continued writing his book. Then he came to Puri, stayed with Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya was over at Kasi Misra's house, Radhakantamath, and Haridas Thakur was close by, and Lord Chaitanya used to go every day to meet Haridas, and when Rupa came, met him. But Rupa Goswami, while he was writing, he took this palm leaf, and they have thatched huts in India, and he stuck the leaf in the grass of the roof to dry. And Lord Chaitanya came and read these verses that he was writing. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he got all his devotees. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking all his devotees with him, performed the Gundicha Marjana, washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple, he went to a garden known as Ayatota and accepted prasadam and a picnic within the garden. The cleansing of Gundicha takes place the day before Rath Yatra. So, he's with all his devotees there. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that all the devotees were accepting prasadam and chanting the holy name of Hari, they were greatly pleased. When they received the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasadam through Govinda, they respected it, and they both began to dance in ecstasy. On the next day, this is the day of Rath Yatra, but before the festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Rupa Goswami. And the omnipotent Lord spoke as follows. This is not the pastime where he found the paper. This is prior to that. So he says to Rupa Goswami, do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, for he does not go anywhere else at any time. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the city of Mathura and Dwarka. But Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never leaves at any time Vrindavan. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform his noontime duties, leaving Srila Rupa Goswami somewhat surprised. Satyabhama ordered me to write two different dramas, Rupa Goswami thought. Now I understand that this order has been confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly, I wrote two dramas as one composition. Now I shall divide it and describe the incidents in two separate works. I shall write two separate invocations of good fortune and two different introductions. Let me think deeply about this matter and then describe the two different sets of incidents, which completes our frame. Now we enter into the painting of the killing of Sankachuta from a little bit different point of view than simply a verse which barely described it. However, Kanapur Prabhu, can you put up the verse and its purport? Because there's a big mistake in this purport. Sorry, but there is. This is 2733. I found this out quite arbitrarily. Listen to the statements. The demon Sankachuta was killed by the Lord during his pastimes at Horika in the month of Phalgun. And the same ceremony is still observed in India by the burning of the effigy of Sankachuta one day prior to the Lord's pastimes at Horika, generally known as Holi. It's right at the bottom of the purport, people. Before that, now next one more. There. Okay. So I look up Horika, India. H-O-R-I-K-A. And nothing. There isn't a place. So then I thought, what the hell? What's going on here? So I changed, listen to these two words and see if you can tell the difference. I'm transcribing Srila Prabhupada's words on his tape. Harika, Harika. Harika, Harika. Harika, Harika. Harika, Harika. Holika, holika. Huh? Change that R to an L, and it becomes holika. Holy. Holy is, holika is the name of Hiranyakasipu's sister. And they burn an effigy of her every day, every year, before the festival of Holi. So, it's not that they don't burn an effigy of Sankachuta, and it isn't at a place called Horika. It's Horika, and it takes place on the Phalgun Purnima. Who knows what else happened on Phalgun Purnima?
Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, which is, if you're in Bengal, what's the festival that's performed there on Phalgun Purnima?
On Holi.
No, Gaur Purnima. Gaur Purnima in right? If you're in Bengal?
Yeah.
It's Gaur Purnima. If you're in Vrindavan, then it's holy. And if you're in Puri? Dolayacha. Dola means swing. They bring Dola Govinda. Dola Govinda is a little deity. If you look at the picture of Jagannath, there's a little Govinda deity. It's a Utsav deity. And they bring Dol Govinda to the Dol Vedi. And Lakshmi Bazaar, there's a big, probably as big as this temple room, a big swing platform in the middle of the bazaar. All the stores are all around it. And they have a big, like, structure that they hang the chains from and put a big swing. And all the devotees come up and swing Dol Govinda. And they throw the colors on them. Samapriya and I had a real nice festival when we had our house there. We would put our Radha Govinda Gopinath on a swing and put Lord Chaitanya down, watching them swing, and throw holi. So all three festivals were in one pastime. That was great. So, now, let's read the pastime from Krishna book. Because we've already explained that, and it's just barely mentioned here. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book explanation. It's a short pastime, but what I'll do is I'll insert some of the spices from Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. Rupa Goswami wrote two books, Vidadga Madhava, which describes the pastimes of Vrindavan, as instructed by Lord Chaitanya. And Lalita Madhava is the pastimes of Dwarka and Mathura. Why they're written like that is a whole other topic for another day. Okay, this chapter is chapter 34, first described the killing of Vidyadhara, the lizard, and the pastime of Shivaratri. So now, after this incident, on a very pleasant night, Phalgun Purnima, so it's not the Rasa dance of Kartik. This is another spring, spring, Phalgun. Phalgun Purnima is generally spring atmosphere.
Vidyadhara is the snake.
Huh?
Vidyadhara is the snake.
Yes, that was the previous pastime in this chapter.
You said lizard.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. After this incident, on a very pleasant night, Both Krishna and his elder brother Balaram who were inconceivably powerful, went into the forest of Vrindavan. They were accompanied by the damsels of Brajabhumi, and they began to enjoy each other's company. The young damsels of Braj were very nicely dressed and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood and decorated with flowers. The moon was shining in the sky, surrounded by glittering stars, and the breeze was blowing, bearing the aroma of the Mallika flowers, and the bumblebees were mad after this aroma. Taking advantage of the pleasing atmosphere, both Krishna and Balaram began to sing very melodiously. And Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur's comments, he said that they sang all the different notes of all the different scales. So they created quite a wonderful concert in the forest. The damsels became absorbed in their rhythmical song, so absorbed in their rhythmical song, that they almost forgot themselves. Their hair loosened, their dresses slackened, and the garlands began to fall on the ground. At that time, while they were so much absorbed, almost in madness, a demon associate of Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, appeared on the scene. That demon's name was Sankachuda, because on his head there was a valuable jewel resembling a conch shell. How did Sankachuda get the jewel? He was Kuvera's treasurer, and he nicked it. He stole it. And it's not a real big jewel. I was surprised. I thought when I first read, you know, this big thing, their big jewel that they're worshiping in the temple, it was a small jewel, actually, grabbed in your chest. He had it in his turban. Just as the two sons of Kuvara were puffed up over their wealth and opulence and did not care for Narada Muni's presence, their Sankasura was also puffed up over his material opulence. He felt that Krishna and Balaram were two ordinary cowherd boys enjoying the company of many beautiful girls. Generally, in the material world, a person with riches thinks that all the beautiful women in the world should be enjoyed by him. Sankashuda also thought that, since he belonged to the rich community of Kuvera, that he, not Krishna and Balaram, should enjoy the company of so many beautiful girls. Another little tidbit, however, is that prior to this, I mean, how did he show up there anyway? What happened was that Kamsa, always in anxiety in Mathura, he used to send spies over to Vrindavan to find out what was going on around his kingdom. And Keshi and Aristasura, these demons, they could take different forms. We know this from the pastime of Putana, how she appeared like a very beautiful woman. So Keshi and Aristasura were doing, what do they call it when the spies go out, you know, gathering intelligence. And they went out and they came back and they explained to Kamsa that this boy, Krishna, he's always enjoying with other people's wives there. They have beautiful pastimes. But there's this one girl that he loves more than all of them. Her name's Radha. So Kamsa, he told Sankachuda, you get this Radha, you bring her here. So Sankachuda, not only is he going for himself, and we know he nicked the jewel, so he has his own motives, but he's also on behalf of Kamsa coming to kidnap the girls and bring them back to Mathura for his pleasure. He therefore decided to take charge of them. He appeared before Krishna and Balaram and the damsels of Braj and began to lead the girls away to the north toward Mathura. He commanded them as if it were their proper proprietor and husband, despite the presence of Krishna and Balaram. Being forcibly taken away by Sankachuda, the damsels of Braj began to call the names, Krishna, Balaram, for protection. The two brothers immediately began to follow them, taking big logs in their hands. Don't be afraid! Don't be afraid! They called to the gopis. We are coming at once to chastise this demon. Very quickly, they reached Sankachuda. Thinking the brothers too powerful, Sankachuda left their company of the gopis and ran in fear of his life. But Krishna would not let him go. He entrusted the gopis to the care of Balaram and followed Sankachuda wherever he fled. Krishna wanted to take that valuable jewel resembling a conch shell from the head of that demi. After following him a very short distance, Krishna caught him, struck him on the head with his fist, and killed him. He then took that valuable jewel and returned. In the presence of all the damsels of Braja, he presented that valuable jewel to its elder brother, Balarama. Now, it's described that the reason he did that was that all the gopis had assembled. They're all there. They were enjoying madly with Krishna and Balaram. You went off and killed this demon, come back with the valuable jewel. Krishna wanted to give it to Radharani. But that would have caused difficulty. Would have caused some problems. So he gives it to Balaram, and later Balaram gave it to Radha. So Radharani had that jewel, and she always wore it in a very intimate place where Krishna often would see it. Now, Rupa Goswami, writing about the pastimes of Krishna in Vidarbha Madhava. Now, let's go to Lalita Madhava, just a little peek into a pastime describing a conversation between Uddhava and Narada in the palace of Dwarka. Uddhava, speaking to Narada, "I sinned against Lord Krishna, who is the enemy of Chinmoy." This is a play that Rupa Goswami wrote. "I sinned against Lord Krishna, who is the enemy of Chinmoy, and whose transcendental pastimes are like a brilliant sun that chases away the darkness of ignorance in this world. I'm very unhappy. I beg you, bless me. Relieve me of my sin." Narada, "Oh bumblebee, drinking the nectar at the flower of devotional service to the lotus-eyed Lord Krishna, even your devotee's reckless activities are a source of pleasure for the Lord. If this is true for the devotees in general, then how much more is it true for you who are so dear to the Lord? Today will be a great festival. You will have an auspicious opportunity to see the Lord's extraordinary, wonderful Vrindavan pastimes." Uddhava, "Lord, you know better. Why do you uselessly tease me in this way? Lord Krishna is now wounded by many arrows of grief. How is it possible for him to return to Vrindavan?" Narada, "What is the cause of this arrow of grief?" Uddhava, "The younger girl," his voice becomes choked in the middle of these words, he's unable to speak. Note, of the two sisters, Radha and Chandravali, Radha is the younger. So Uddhava couldn't even, he just said, the younger sister. Narada, laughing, "If a person who has the power to see cannot see the glittering ring on his finger and so thinks it is lost and laments for it, then what can he do to help him?" Uddhava, with wonder and bliss, "Lord, the blossoming vine of your words agitates the bumblebee of my mind. Tell me openly, is the younger goddess still alive?" Narada, "Alive? What are you saying? At this moment, she decorates the city of Dwarka." Uddhava's hairs stand on end. "How did she get there?" Narada, "To his friend, childless Satrajit, who, praying for undying wealth and a best child, worshipped him with all his heart, the sun god gave two gifts, the jewel of the invincible Sankachuta demon, and the younger girl, Sri Radha, who is known by the name of Satyabhama. The sun god affectionately said to Satyajit, following Narada's direction, give this very beautiful girl in marriage to the most exalted famous husband. In this way you will become supremely famous in this world. Worship the Shamantaka jewel and it will give you 8 bars of gold every day." Uddhava, "How did the sun god get that jewel?" Narada, "When Radha entered the sun planet, she gave it to him as if it were a handful of flowers." Uddhava, "Why did Radha go to the sun planet?" Narada, "The sun god said to his daughter, the Jamuna River, O daughter, because she can no longer see Lord Krishna, Your best friend Radha has given up her body at sunset. Bring her to me at once. Obeying her father's orders, the Jamuna brought the grieving Radha to the sun planet. So, earlier in the play, what happened was that Radharani was, she's wearing the Shamantaka jewel, Krishna has gone to Mathura, and she was feeling so distraught. The way that it's written in the play is like this. She says to Vishaka, let us go for a bath in the Jamuna. And then they exit the stage. The next act, somebody comes out and says, oh no, Radha has left. Radha drowned in the Jamuna. So in this way we know she left. Now what happens when Vasudev had baby Krishna, the four-handed little Vishnu form that appeared in the prison? Then Vasudev put him in a basket, took him to the Jamuna, and when he was walking across the Jamuna, what happened? He fell in. Vasudev Krishna fell in. Krishna, the two-handed coward boy Nandanandana, came out back in the basket. So the Jamuna is like a transient place for that. When Akrura went with Krishna and Balaram in his chariot and was taking them from Mathura, they came to Akrura Ghat at the Jamuna. What happened? They all took bath. Vasudev Krishna and Balaram into the Jamuna. Vasudev Krishna and Sankarshan come out and go to Mathura and Dwarka. So in the same way, Jamuna took Radharani. Now Radharani, just like Krishna expands himself, Balaram, then there's the chapter of Vyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Padumna, and Adiruddha. They're all expansions coming from Krishna. All the gopis are expansions of Krishna, of Radharani's body. All the Mahalakshmis and goddesses of fortune are expansions. And all the goddesses of fortune, gopis, queens of Vrindavan, queens of Dwarka. So, in this way, Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani. And this whole Shamantaka jewel is kind of like a conduit by which we can understand. So I just wanted to share these different things with my friend and my little painting, The Killing of Sankatuda. Haribo. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Yes, Tripakam. That's the general progression, yes. But then there was an anomaly in the 28th cycle of the 72 during the Vaivashvatamana.
So it switches.
It switches. Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga are mixed up. That's the anomaly. Pardon? Oh, Ramachandra did that? He arranged it? Who?
Ahalla.
Oh, okay, the one that was a stone?
When she got cast by husband,
yes,
because of her association with Indra, she was desperately begging. Then the husband had a power to switch down the jewel.
Oh,
that's
nice. Oh, beautiful. I never heard that. Thank you. Thank you both. Ramanya, Samapriya? I don't know if that's working. It doesn't sound like it's on. You can just speak, Sama. Not on.
Okay, it's not on. I just want to mention real quick the description of the time frame where we're in this middle box of what we call the present. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
It's so important, everything that we're going through.
Oh.
It's so important. The whole description of Brahma, it's not. Anyway, you get the idea that we shouldn't spend our time so much concerned about things not working out in this material world when nothing is supposed to work out. And
dedicate ourselves to the work at hand, which is the goal of life, to develop our love for Krishna and chant Hare Krishna and be happy finally. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
One note that Mokya just wrote, she forgot to mention today, Narottaka Gopal is having surgery, so she was asking that everybody pray for her. Let's have a maha mantra for Narottaka Gopal's benefit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
There was a problem right in the middle of the program.